change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is the Nonprofit Snapcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. I am very happy today to be speaking with Jim Taylor. Jim is the Vice President of Leadership Initiatives for BoardSource. In his role, he's primarily responsible for leading BoardSource's external initiatives on diversity, equity, and inclusion. How are you, Jim?
Doing great, Mickey. Great to be with you today.
Yes, thank you for joining me. You wrote a blog piece, which is the thing that originally caught my eye and the thing that prompted me to write to you. It was called Recruiting for Board Diversity Without Disrespecting People of Color. And the thing that set this board, this blog piece apart for me was you told, I think, a very compelling story, your own personal experiences of what it meant to be recruited to various organizations and the takeaways from that process. There were apparently a lot of good things to do and a lot of bad things to experience. And I was wondering if we could talk about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to talk about that. As you mentioned, I recently wrote a blog for BoardSource that's entitled Recruiting for Board Diversity Without Disrespecting People of Color. And in that blog, I shared some personal experiences that I've had as a Black man who's been working in the nonprofit sector or with the nonprofit sector for most of my career. And as a Black man who has been recruited by boards at least on 13 occasions that I can think of. And in the piece, I talk about how there have been five times where I joined boards because I felt like there was a real alignment between the mission of the organization and the objectives of the board and what I could offer. Then there were six times where the timing just wasn't right, so I didn't join those boards. But then the piece itself is really targeted to talking about these two experiences I had where I really felt disrespected in the process. Mm. And what I mean by that is that on these two occasions, when I was recruited, in each case, there was a white board member who reached out to me and said, Jim, we'd love to talk to you about our board and the possibility of your joining. And I didn't know the board member in either of those two cases, and I didn't know the organizations very well in those cases. But I was interested enough to sit down and talk with these white board members in both of these situations. And what I found was that in both cases, these board members came to me and said, Jim, we really want to become much more diverse in our board. We really want to focus on diversity, inclusion, and equity. And I think that's great. I think every board should be thinking that way. But then in both cases, I asked the question, I said, so what is it about me specifically that you think would add value to your board? And Mickey, I'll tell you, I was hoping that the answer would be, well, Jim, we looked at your background and we see that you've had this extensive experience in community development and affordable housing. You've got this great network of contacts in community development. You know about fundraising. You know about making grants, Jim. You've done all these things that we think would be really helpful to us. But they didn't really answer that way in either case. What they just said was, they just kind of repeated the fact that they wanted to become more diverse, which led me to feel like, okay, I'm starting to size up this situation. You really just want me to join your board because I'm Black and I will add to your diversity numbers, your diversity percentages, but you haven't really, either you haven't considered the experiences and skills I bring, or they're just not important to you. All that's important to you is my race. And so that's what I meant about feeling disrespected, that while certainly I applaud efforts to become more diverse, for boards to become more diverse, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than just a check the box sort of mentality, because if that's all that boards are thinking about, let's just become more diverse, but they're not thinking about why that matters, how that makes them better, how they can become more inclusive board in terms of their culture that they want to set, how they can be much more focused on equity in their work, then damage can be done. Exactly. Because, you know, it's the kind of thing where the board feels like its work is done once they've recruited a person of color, as opposed to saying that's the beginning of the work. Now that we've got a more diverse board, now that we've got more diverse perspectives, let's really leverage that and make better decisions, have better conversations, come up with better strategies and action plans.
Which is, which is not just bad strategy, but it tends to devalue the individual. And I always thought that the purpose of being on a board was to value the individual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. When we talk about inclusive cultures, we're talking about cultures on boards in which everyone feels valued respected, heard. And that's not to say that every decision a board makes will make everyone on that board happy. But I know in my own experience that when I've been on boards where we've done something, we've made a decision as a body that goes against maybe what I would have preferred, I still feel satisfied if I've had the chance to voice my opinion. I've felt respected in the process. I've had a chance to listen to others' opinions. And if we decide to go in a different direction, okay. I mean, at least I feel like we have fully considered this, fully considered all the factors. We've had a really comprehensive conversation and we go from there.
So can we talk concretely for a minute or attempt to get concrete? I know we're looking at big picture stuff and we don't really have time in the Snapcast to do a very deep dig, but what are ways that predominantly white boards can look at diversifying themselves properly and really honoring what that means both to the organization and to the individual?
Yeah, there are definitely some better ways to go about it. And I want to share that. First, I think it's important for boards to, predominantly white boards, to just have a conversation about why this matters, to really establish that being more diverse, being more inclusive, being more equity focused is important to them and to their work. And at BoardSource, we actually have a document. We just call it 5 questions to get you started. Mm-hmm. And these are questions that help boards begin to have conversations around things like when someone from the outside looks at our board, literally looks at our board, what would they think about our organizational based on the level of diversity on our board? Does our board's current composition positively or negatively impact our reputation? We also ask boards to ask questions like, when it comes to having a diverse range of perspectives in the room or bringing the community into the boardroom, do we feel that we know, that we really know the needs and priorities of those that we serve? Are we ever at risk of making decisions that would not align with the needs and priorities that we serve? Which really gets at that question of inclusion, really bringing in more. And then the final question we ask is really around, if we really wanted to make a major commitment to diversity, inclusion, and equity, what would that mean to our mission, our work, and the people that we, the communities that we ask boards to ask those kinds of questions of themselves to get a sense of where they're starting from. And then from there, once they've established where they are in that with regard to those sorts of questions, and the fact that they want to go forward and do more in the space, then specifically we suggest they do certain things around how they build their in more to get to a more diverse result. We ask them to reach outside of their normal network. If you think about predominantly white boards, when it comes to filling vacant board positions, predominantly white boards are likely to reach out to their inner circle of contacts, their inner network, which will be largely comprised of people just like themselves, people of similar backgrounds, similar socioeconomic status, probably also white individuals as well. And so nothing will change. In some way, it just sort of perpetuates the lack of diversity of not only race, but lack of diversity of skills and backgrounds and perspective, so mm-hmm. that the board doesn't really evolve. So we suggest posting positions on sites that attract diverse candidates, diversityjobs.com, you know, Black Career Network, places like that, that where you know that by posting on those sorts of sites, you're getting in front of a higher concentration of diverse individuals. Not to say you couldn't still do things on Indeed.com or LinkedIn, but posting on these more diversity-oriented sites sends a different message and gets you in front of a different audience. We also suggest that boards consider looking at the local chapters of national professional and civic associations, groups like the National Black MBA Association, the Hispanic National Bar Association, the National Black Chamber of Commerce. These are all national organizations, but they have local chapters in every state. And so reaching out to those sorts of organizations and local chapters gives you the opportunity to not only reach out to individuals who are diverse, but also have the skill sets that you should have already identified that you need, skill sets and expertise that you may need on your board. So you can find an accountant, a lawyer, a communications person, a public relations expert who's also a person of color.
Right.
So those are a couple things they can do. We also talk about engaging staff because staff is closest to the work. So they'll know who in the community is doing great work and they might have suggestions on who the board could recruit. And the big point that I like to make around this too, is to make sure that every board member is engaged. And don't just put it on the person of color, let's say, who's on your board already, if there's just one, let's and say to that person, okay, you go ahead and handle it yourself because you're the person of color on our board. We think you know the most people of color. Let's just leverage your network. And my point to Burnett is that, and I say that from personal experience, actually.
Right, right.
But my point on that is to say, I am more than happy to reach out to my network. But if this is truly going to be a chance to change the board culture and to make the board culture more inclusive, then every board member should be thinking about how he or she can do his or her part,
right,
to expand their own networks and bring potential candidates to the, and that's when the culture changes. And that's when this becomes not just a one-off that a board takes on as another project, but it just becomes a part of how the board actually.
I'm running into this mental picture where some of the boards that I've been on struggle with that because everyone on the board sort of, like you said, we've recruited people from our own Rolodexes. Our own Rolodexes tend to be sort of homogenous, and it's hard to escape that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A lot of boards went into that. And I think, Mickey, the other point there is when that happens, a lot of boards make the mistake of waiting and saying, in about 3 weeks, Joe is about to term off the board.
Yeah.
Who do we know?
Right.
And so you're in a little bit of a time crunch because you're trying to fill that position quickly. And so you're that much more, even more inclined to just kind of reach out to who you know, right, who you already have a relationship with. And while there are times when certainly bringing someone on that you know is a great idea because maybe they've been on a committee before and they've proven their passion for your mission and there's sort of a natural evolution to bring them onto the board, we do encourage, for those boards that are not diverse, encourage boards to go beyond that. And if they go beyond that inner circle, then they probably need more time to build that in. So we suggest the boards say, okay, we know we have some people terming off in the next 3 months, next 6 months. Let's really be intentional,
right,
about how we're going to go about this. And that gives you more time to do a more comprehensive, detailed search.
Right.
And that's, again, how you can get.
And if the board has an actual recruiting committee, I think that these are all practices that the committee can try to, I'm going to use the word police. I'm not sure that's the best word to use at this point, but you know, to at least monitor and put in terms of actual policy. There's an actual now a list of a codified, you know, process and list of where to go to find certain people with the certain skill sets that they need and escape the homogeneity of our own Rolodexes. I'm stumbling over the words. Forgive me if I'm not getting them right.
No, I think you're right on point. And yeah. And I would just even add to what you just said and say, and that's where a board composition matrix can be helpful.
Bingo,
Just gives you a chance to sort of take in, have every board member fill out the matrix, and then you can take a full look at your board, a holistic look. And when you see that, you'll see that, oh, okay, we have a lot of strength, a lot of board members who have a finance background. That's terrific. Gosh, we seem to have a void where it comes to communications or public relations, mm-hmm. or we've got great gender diversity on our board. We've got a good mix of men and women on our board, but gosh, we don't have a lot of people of color. So the matrix gives you a sense of kind of the current status of your board, where you have strengths and where there are some opportunities for development in terms of enhancing the company.
Right.
And we suggest that for boards. And we actually, we have a template of a board matrix that we offer, but we also encourage boards to modify the templates as they see fit to fit their needs. And
exactly. This next question may seem like completely left field and I may edit it out, but what do you think of the notion that we tend to look at our own Rolodexes as being full of friends and it's difficult to recruit people to the board who aren't already my friends? Doesn't that sort of fly in the face of what it means to be doing that board level networking anyway? I'm not sure this question is making sense. Like I said, I may strike it.
I think it's a good question. I think from sort of an ease of process perspective, it's tempting. Mm-hmm. To reach out to friends or at least, you know, strong acquaintances with whom we've built up some, we're not starting from scratch. We already have some sort of rapport in these individuals. I would recommend that rather than thinking of it as starting with people with whom we have a rapport, that we start with people who will bring a passion for the mission. And if they happen to be friends or acquaintances that you've developed over time, so be it. That there's nothing wrong with that. But having people who will have a passion for the mission, having people who will be reliable and dependable to carry out the responsibilities of people who will be dedicated, you know, and contribute in ways not just financially, although that's an expectation of board members to provide financial support to the organization in ways that are personally significant for them, but to really give back in a variety of ways of their time, of their talent, and as they say, of their treasure.
Yes,
that's really the perspective I think boards need to be looking at this from, as opposed to who do we know, who's friendly, who will we enjoy spending time with. Right. That's more of a social discussion than a board discussion.
Right. And the fact of the matter is I don't really need everyone on the board to be my friend. I just need them to be moving the mission forward in some productive manner.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is wonderful stuff. I wish we had more time to spend on the topic, but Jim, if someone wanted to get in touch with you or ask you further questions on the subject matter, how would you suggest they do that?
You know, they could reach out to me. Well, my email address is jim.taylor@boardsource.org. Certainly for anyone who's interested in our resources, I invite all of the listeners to visit our website, boardsource.org, where you will find, on this topic we've talked about today, we have a diversity, equity, and inclusion webpage that includes lots of research and articles and different tools and resources, including the blog we've talked about today and some other blogs I've written over the last several months. And invite folks to go to that site for any need they may have, whether they're coming at it from a foundation perspective, a nonprofit perspective, whether they're part of an association or even a corporation. There are tools and resources that apply to any of those scenarios. Or if they're just an individual consultant or someone else who has just an individual interest in these topics, and just invite folks to go to boardsource.org for more information.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge fan of boardsource.org. And I hope that our listeners, you know, there was a couple of things you said that I thought were particularly valuable. Looking at professional organizations, for instance, I thought a definite thing that more of us should do in our recruiting efforts. So, Jim, thank you again for making the time to do this recording today. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope we get to do more in the future.
I thank you so much, Mickey. I've enjoyed it today. I hope we get to do it again.
And to our listeners, thank you as always for joining us for the Nonprofit Snapcast. We value your comments and feedback via the website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. And if you have any questions about the consulting work that we do, please visit nonprofitsnapshot.org. That's nonprofitsnapshot, not to be confused with Nonprofit Snapcast. nonprofitsnapshot.org. Click on the consulting tab at the top of the screen and you'll see the list of things that we're currently doing in partnerships with consultants across the country. In the meantime, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.